A 15-year-old girl shot while trying to save her 5-year-old cousin who died in a shooting. The calls for change as friends and family grieve.
Our streak of pop-up storms continues. I'll outline who has the greatest chance to see rain and lightning tonight and into the weekend.
I have an update to the I-440 repaving project. The eastbound lanes are done. How much longer drivers will have to wait until the westbound lanes are repaved?
Right now at 7 o'clock, the community is in mourning. Mourning the loss of a 5-year-old girl shot and killed in Durham.
This is Chloe. Family friends say her 15-year-old cousin used her own body to shield little Chloe during that shooting. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. New here at 7 o'clock, we're getting our first look at that 15-year-old who tried to save Chloe's life. This is Destiny. She's in the hospital right now with serious injuries.
In the last hour and a half, people were gathered for a vigil honoring both of those girls. The police chief was even there to show support.
WRAL's Aaron Thomas was there as well, joins us now live in Durham. Aaron.
Yeah, Dan, Ashley, I'm standing in the plaza where more than a dozen people actually gathered over this heartbreaking tragedy involving two young children here in the Bull City. As you mentioned, the police chief, Durham Police Chief Patrice Andrews, she was here. She did not provide any remarks or anything, but she did want to show her support in this community that is obviously hurting. A family friend tells WRAL that the 15-year-old jumped in front of her younger cousin, that's 5-year-old Chloe Fennell, to shield her as bullets flew. Another young child was also in the house at the time of the shooting. At this vigil this evening, there's a call to action, making sure that guns do not end up in the wrong hands.
We need to make sure that guns are in a safe place, for one, and are in the right hands of people that do own guns. And if you're not old enough to have them, I don't think that you should have them at all.
Now, 42-year-old Brian Luster was arrested and charged with Chloe's murder. He's currently at Durham County Jail and being held there without bond. In the meantime, a family friend has set up a GoFundMe to help with Chloe's funeral expenses. But as you can imagine, for a lot of people out here, especially those who are parents, this is certainly hitting close to home.
Oh, I can't imagine what that family, what that community is going through. Aaron Thomas live in Durham. Thanks.
I'm Matt Tallhelm in the WRAL Live Center. In the last 30 minutes, Raleigh police confirmed to us that shots fired into some townhomes is connected to the death of this man. This is 28-year-old Dexter Ingram. Let me take you back through how this happened as we take a look at some video from the scene there. On Saturday, police responded to some gunfire on Picket Fence Lane. They found several townhomes there damaged. They didn't find anybody injured, but 2 days later, on Monday, a landscaping crew found Ingram's body nearby here. The family has questioned why it took 2 days for him to be found, for his body to be found there. RPD, though, confirming now that these two incidents, those gunfire, the shots fired into the townhomes, are connected to this death of this man. This is a homicide investigation at this point. No suspects have been arrested.
Thank you. Taking a live look at the radar now, we're seeing some storms and showers popping up in parts of our area. We can expect more of the same tomorrow. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat, what's the latest?
These storms are small on the radar, but they are packing a punch. Very heavy rain coming down in some of these small cells in the eastern part of our viewing area. Spring Hope seeing one of those storms right now. A lot of lightning, heavy rain. The potential for winds to gust up to about 40 miles per hour. We have another storm just northeast of Clinton and south of Goldsboro that we're watching. So zooming in, you can see the size of these storms. They're fairly small, but producing a lot of lightning. More than 10 bolts here in this view in the past 15 minutes. One storm just south of Wilson. We're also tracking some scattered showers left over in Fayetteville and around the Sand Hills, but that storm right along I-40 in Sampson County still pretty strong. Over the next couple of hours, these storms will dissipate, though. As we get toward 8, 9 o'clock, storm chances quickly go down, just a 20% chance for rain by 9, 10, 11 o'clock. So if you can hold off on some of your exercise until a little bit later, I think you'll be in better luck to get it in dry tonight. Storm chances, of course, back this weekend, though, and I'll have a closer look at tomorrow and Saturday on Futurecast to help you plan ahead coming up.
Okay, Kat, thank you.
Traffic is flowing a little smoother on I-440 right now as crews make some progress on a major repaving project. We're talking about this section right here of the Beltline between Lake Boone Trail and Wake Forest Road. A much better ride already on the eastbound lanes where that repaving is complete. And right now, crews are working on the westbound lanes. WRL's Brett Neese, live for us in Raleigh. Brett, this project is right on track, which is something great to hear when it comes to a project this big, and drivers are starting to notice the difference.
They are, Dan. It's right on track. You can see the difference right here behind me on the eastbound lanes of the Beltline here behind me. And because of all these improvements, a number of drivers I spoke with say they are ready to get back on the Beltline once again.
It's a stretch of road Raleigh drivers are all too familiar with.
Actually had two different chips in my windshield during that time, so it was very frustrating.
The cracked pavement has only gotten worse over recent years. So much worse, NCDOT moved up the timeline for repairs.
For a while, I totally avoided it because it would give you not a roller coaster ride, but feeling like you were going to shake things up a bit too much.
That work started back in April, and not only can you see what's completed, you can feel the difference.
I think it's not just a smoother ride, but a whole lot safer for people traveling on that road.
Crews wrapped up eastbound work within the last week.
It's wonderful. It's a major, major difference. I travel that quite often, and my husband travels it a lot for work each day, and we're thrilled.
Now the focus of the $26 million project shifts to the westbound lanes of traffic. That's where drivers say some of the worst spots are. But soon, it will be smooth sailing in both directions along this stretch of the Beltline.
Yeah, I can't wait till that's complete.
They're doing a lot of construction, which I know is needed because of traffic, but we'll all be glad when it's done.
It's got about 2 to 3 more months on that repaving part of this project. But this project also includes fixing some of those drainage issues we see during flash flooding near the Glenwood Avenue exit. Also bridge improvements part of it. But Dan, everything right now going according to the plan. Those extra pieces will be finished next fall.
So far, so good. Brett Neese, live for us in Raleigh. Thanks, Brett.
Carowinds is giving new insight into how it plans to fix a support beam that was caught on video separating from the Fury 325 roller coaster. That ride has been closed to the public since last week. An investigation by the park and the company that built the ride determined the crack formed along a weld line in the steel column of the support beam. Carowinds says the company will remove and replace the existing support column. Once the new beam is installed, Carowinds says it will extensively test the new beam. It'll do 500 runs of the ride. A third-party testing firm will also be hired. No timeline for when that ride could reopen.
The State Board of Elections unanimously approved a new voting system today. This new system comes from Elections Systems Software, or ESNS. It has more memory capacity than the system it's replacing. However, it will work the same as the existing system. It also is not connected to the internet. It produces a paper ballot for every voter, even those who have to use a touchscreen because of disabilities. Democrats and Republicans on the board all spoke highly of it.
I have great confidence in our election process because we do have 100% paper ballots, and the equipment that we're being asked to review and certify has been tested by both the Federal Election Administration, by our staff, and also by a private laboratory.
The new voting machines will be available to counties who need upgrades on their old existing machines that have become obsolete. Each county can decide for itself whether to purchase the new system.
Still ahead, forever chemicals have been found in tap water in our area. What else a new study is revealing? Then, the Duke Energy change some companies want to make that could lower your electric bill. Plus, a reunion nearly 60 years in the making. The role social media played in getting a class ring lost in the dirt in 1955 back to its owner. That's coming up.
The threat for rip currents is low today after dozens of rip current rescues in the past week. You may remember a Sanford man died Saturday when he tried to rescue three people caught in a rip current at Fort Fisher. We've learned now funeral arrangements are set for 58-year-old Joe West. According to his obituary, West had a passion for fishing and hunting and spending time with his family. His funeral is this Saturday.
This is an unnerving number. At least 45% of the nation's tap water is estimated to be contaminated with PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. And it was found in the Triangle area. That comes from a new national study, the first of its kind. The U.S. Geological Survey tested 11 sites in North Carolina. Four of them were found to have that so-called forever chemical, including in Cary. That means people in those areas could be exposed to harmful chemicals every time you shower, you go for a swim, or even grab a glass of water.
They're in our drinking water, in our soil, in the air, and then they end up in our bodies. And the more research we do on how these chemicals interact in animal models, so like in mice and in fish, we get a sense of what they might be able to do to human health.
May says the biggest source of PFAS is through contaminated water.
Duke Energy is North Carolina's biggest utility, and it's the only option for most people across our state. That's why some businesses in North Carolina want the General Assembly to approve a study to see if competition for control of the electric grid would lower your electric bill. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan explains what this means for you.
If you live in our state, you're very likely to get your energy from Duke Energy coming from a power substation like this one. But some groups and businesses are pushing for options to help drive down the costs and keep businesses from going elsewhere for lower prices. Over Christmas week, nearly 500,000 Duke Energy customers experienced rolling blackouts.
The vast majority lost it because Duke's gas operations froze up.
Chris Cremoti with Carolina's Clean Energy Business Association says that incident is one reason to move away from North Carolina's monopoly system, as Duke Energy is the only option for most customers.
Right now, North Carolina ratepayers are paying basically two-thirds of $1 billion more to Duke Energy than they would be if we were in just a wholesale competitive market.
Nine companies and five industry groups sent lawmakers a letter last week calling on them to at least study a wholesale market that would enable other power generators to deliver electricity through Duke Energy's grid.
The purpose is to encourage the legislature to pursue a bill like House Bill 503 that would create a legislative study committee similar to what was done recently in South Carolina.
The group wants lawmakers to pass House Bill 503, which would fund a $500,000 study of the issue. South Carolina's state legislature commissioned a study years ago. And in May, a consulting group predicted savings as high as $362 million a year.
The reason that wholesale competition should really appeal is because that puts pressure on all electric prices.
Wholesale markets are common in the United States. You can see them here on this map. Not so common, though, in the Southeast. In their letter, the coalition said systems like these serve more than 70% of U.S. energy customers.
North Carolina wants to continue to be able to recruit high energy users. We've got to have competitive electricity prices and reliable electricity service.
In a statement, the company says Duke Energy remains committed to providing affordable, reliable, and cleaner energy to all of our customers and will continue to look towards the future as we implement North Carolina's carbon plan. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Thank you, Chelsea. This is a complex issue, and I have gone in depth on this topic more than once. If you have any thoughts about this latest development involving Duke Energy and your energy bill and some new efforts to give customers like you some more options, please shoot me an email at dan@wral.com.
For many students, summer school is something they want to avoid, right? But right now at Fayetteville State University, summer enrollment is setting records. The university started its free summer school program 3 years ago, and it's grown in popularity ever since. Right now, more than 4,000 of the 6,600 students enrolled at FSU are in summer school. Students can earn up to 7 credit hours during the summer, saving them time and money. The chancellor says it's also helping with student retention and graduation rates.
So just as vibrant as this campus is in the fall and the spring, it's just as vibrant in the summer. And again, these are students catching up, and more importantly, also students that are speeding up. Because here at Fayetteville State University, it's 4 years or less to get your degree.
FSU used federal COVID relief money to pay for the program, but that money is running out. They're hoping to pick up local supporters to help keep the program alive.
This is such a cool sight near Myrtle Beach today. You don't see this every day, do you? A very rare event. The South Carolina United Turtle Enthusiasts is a group. They said a very healthy mother turtle laid 102 eggs on North Litchfield Beach. One of those bystanders, David Fatala, snapped these photos of that turtle on her way back into the sea. The nonprofit says the turtle's shells measured, the shell of that turtle measured 37 inches long and 34 inches wide. This morning, these are some volunteers you see here moving those eggs a bit to higher ground to protect them from high tide.
The sunflowers at Dorothy Dix Park will be blooming before you know it. Check it out. You can see the buds starting to form on the stems there. The park posted these photos today. They say the flowers could start blooming as early as next week. And in case you've never been to visit, okay, here is what they look like in full bloom. Video from last year's fields is what you're looking at right now, attracting hundreds of people, taking in the beauty and undoubtedly getting that perfect Instagram picture, TikTok video among all of the sunflowers. I got to imagine, Kat, that all of this rain and humidity has to be helping these sunflowers.
Yes, it is. And I actually heard from a friend of mine on Facebook in Clayton, her sunflowers are already in bloom. So it is certainly coming. It'll be just around the corner. You've got to see it in person. I did want to point out this thunderstorm that's moving through Spring Hope. It's slowly moving to the south. If it's able to hold together, it may track right along the east side of Middlesex there. But in Rocky Mount, the rain's on the west side of town. This thunderstorm, though, is producing heavy rain, also the potential for winds to gust up to about 50 miles per hour now after looking at the new radar scans. That's the strongest storm on the radar right now, but we also have a pretty strong storm that's ramping up right along I-40 in Sampson County. So that may create an issue for anybody traveling on the highway there, right between Sampson County and toward Duplin County as well. We've got some of these storms. If you look at the radar, though, these are small storms, generally speaking, and they're just kind of randomly placed on the radar. And that's going to be the case for the next hour or two. They pop up and they're going to fade. The sun's setting, and that means we're going to lose the heating of the day. And that'll help these storms dissipate by 9 o'clock. Really not much left. And after that, we expect to be dry tonight. We're not expecting storms to linger into the overnight the way it looks now. Taking a live look at the WRAL live camera network in Durham out at the DBAB. All is good for the game tonight. 87 degrees, 87 at the WRAL Gardens, and 78 degrees in Fayetteville at Segres Stadium. Still a raindrop on the lens there, but the worst is over now in Fayetteville. If you are planning ahead for your weekend, there's a 40% chance of storms tomorrow and Saturday, a 50% chance by Sunday, so a little bit more coverage on Sunday. The hottest day is going to be tomorrow. We're back up to 94 for the high tomorrow. So let's take a look at Futurecast. It's going to be a pretty typical summer day tomorrow. By noon, there's about a 20% chance for rain, and it's during the afternoon that we see these storms firing up, and they should fade once we get to sunset tomorrow night. Best window for storms, best chances would likely come 5, 6 o'clock as we get around dinner time. Things quiet down tomorrow night into early Saturday morning. So if you've got any late night plans for your Friday, I think you'll be drier. But Saturday, again, as we get into the afternoon, we see a few of these storms pop up. Once we get to sunset, the storms start to dissipate. We are also going to be dealing with the heat this weekend. So it's not just the storms, but the heat index, 102 tomorrow, 102 Saturday, and 100 on Sunday. Notice, though, as we get into Monday and Tuesday, it might not be quite as bad. And that's because we've got a front moving through. But tomorrow, with the heat, it's going to be a good day to go to the pool, especially early on. Just be on the lookout for any thunderstorms in the distance, any dark clouds. And remember, if you can hear thunder, then you need to head inside. You're close enough to get struck by lightning. That's the rule of thumb that I personally use, too. Looking ahead, Monday is the day I told you about where we could begin to see some changes. That comes with better storm chances, 60%. That'll keep temperatures down thanks to a system that moves through. Behind it, we may have some drier air, and that may help to limit storm chances. But boy, it is still going to be hot. Next Thursday, we're up to 95 degrees.
Hey, when that storm isn't coming through on Monday, it'll feel downright refreshing.
Absolutely. It's going to be almost cool for July.
Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead, the Eagles just announced their final tour. You don't have to go far to catch it either. The legendary band show in our state for the long goodbye. Coming up.
A woman who grew up in Rocky Mount is getting reunited with her class ring She lost it more than 60 years ago.
I'm a sucker for stories like this. I love it. This is Virginia Robbins. She graduated from Benvenue High School in 1955. Her family says she was wearing her class ring while doing yard work one day in the 1960s and dropped it. Last week, a metal detecting club found that ring buried in a Rocky Mount park. They found initials on it. They put a message on Facebook. It was seen by the owner's family. And today, Virginia Robbins is 86 years old, lives in Greensboro, but her sister is still in Rocky Mount. She was able to meet the man who found it and says that her sister is simply overjoyed.
I couldn't wait to call her. She was so excited. And still is, because she didn't have a ring yet.
The owner's sister says she hopes to get the ring back to her as soon as next week.
Oh, that is so cool. Good for her. Hey, it is another busy weekend in the Triangle.
Absolutely. WRL lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan has some top out and about picks, including some superhero fun.
Kick off the weekend at downtown Raleigh's First Friday celebration. In Moore Square, there will be a market featuring food trucks, live music, and a free screening of Men in Black. Calling all superheroes, the Geek and Grub Market will be hosting a special superhero-themed event Saturday night at Fred Fletcher Park. From 6 to 10 p.m., enjoy superhero meet-and-greets, costume contests, and more fun. Admission is free. And on Saturday and Sunday, comedian John Oliver will take the stage at Durham Performing Arts Center. Durham is one of only 8 U.S. cities on this tour. These are just a few ways to get out and about this weekend. Kathy Hanrahan, WRAL News.
And your last chance to see the Eagles live in concert is later this year.
You have two options if you want to stay sort of local. Multiple shows are planned for North Carolina, including in the Triangle. After more than 50 years of touring, the band announced their upcoming The Long Goodbye Tour is their last one. The first set of tour dates are set for September. The Eagles will be at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte November 7th and then at PNC Arena on November 9th. Tickets go on sale to the general public July 14th. Put it on your phone, in your calendar. Those are when the tickets go on sale.
Some of these bands, they've been touring for years and years and years, and they still know how to bring it.
They can bring it.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for joining us here on WRAL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.